Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode on the Celtic Now and Flower podcast. My name is Ryan Crawford, and today we're joined by Robert Boyle again. Robert, how you doing, my man?
Right, Ryan, how you doing?
Not bad, my man, not bad. Obviously, it's a cup final this weekend against Hearts, so we're kind of previewing that, and we'll touch on the AGM as well. But obviously, I've not spoke to you since the Kilmarnock game, mate, so what's your thoughts on the Kilmarnock game and really what's been happening this week?
Just thought we started with a wee bit of intent, but I thought, oh no, it's got to be one of these games, so just didn't think we were breaking them down. You could see we flashes it in the first half, but I thought the second half was really up to game and took it to them and we were more aggressive in the attack. And the wing-backs were more advanced, which helped to get into them. I thought Tumble was good again, Sorrow done what he had today. Aya was really good. I thought Taylor was good. I just thought, second half, we just looked like another progress step in the right direction.
It's definitely a progress, I think. It's a game that we actually had to win. And as you say, it was good to see guys like Sorrow, Tumble, continuing the team and play well. I think it's kind of obviously leads on to this weekend's game, which obviously a massive game. Obviously, we had the AGM during the week, and again, we were kind of, you see the frustrations of the fans on Twitter, and obviously yourself, we were talking about how frustrating it is that they're basically just, they're trying to put the kind of wool with their eyes in a way. I don't know what your opinions are, just, we'll touch on wee snippets, but yep. Your overall kind of thoughts about the AGM, obviously we've not heard all yet, but for what we've seen.
I just thought they're just telling you what you want to hear, really, weren't they? They were just, they all get voted back in, most of them anyway, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I only read what's on Twitter, what they'd said. Peter Lawwell saying, oh, I'm the same as you, I'm hurting, I'm a big Celtic supporter and everything else. But he doesn't tell you he's took £15 million in bonuses alone out of Celtic if he's come in, not including his wages on top of that. So if he's that big a Celtic fan, in a pandemic this season, I wouldn't expect him to be taking his £2.5 million bonus. So we'll see how big a Celtic supporter he is. I just thought, we've not really got a voice on the board, have we? That's the problem. That you're preaching to the wolves, as I say, isn't it?
It's as you say, Lawwell says about him being a fan, and he says that he basically fully understands the situations. Well, if you understood it, you would be more vocal and do something about it. As you say, instead of just taking your wages and not doing anything about it. Because he says he's a Celtic fan, he's family Celtic fan, blah, blah, blah. Well, as you say, the proof's in the pudding. Shows then. Just don't just talk about it. Actually shows. And if the fans are wanting something, we're not saying you need to act on it right away, but you need to act on it in some capacity.
Yeah, and he's not taking responsibility for how much of a crisis we were actually in there, and we're still probably in it. Let's not kid ourselves. He's not taking responsibility for letting Rodgers go early. Mm-hmm. The signings that's miles long are pure terrible signings and money that's been blue. No making the Champions League and getting knocked out of Europa League. He's forgetting all that was under his watch. And he's telling you, oh, I'm trying my best here. He's trying his best. He's not giving the best to us, the supporters.
Aye, because as you say, that's the things that, well, he says he's basically kind of back in his word in a way, basically saying that he's your duty for him and responsibility for the board and himself to look after the right thing for Celtic. Well, the right thing, obviously, we won the last two games, so we're hoping we'll turn the corner. But before the two games, the right thing, and still a lot of fans' right thing today, was to sack the manager. So if
he was hiding, there was nowhere to be seen in that time, Ryan.
So if the fans are telling you that and you're listening to the fans and you the right thing by the fans was to sack the manager, so you've no listened. And in my opinion, you've no listened. And I think a lot of Celtic fans are the same. Because he's basically saying now that they know they're behind Rangers in the league and they know this, so they know it's going to be difficult, but they're not giving up. But you're kind of basically saying we know there's issues, but we don't want to deal with it.
Aye. To me then, if they're saying all that, along with back to manager, well, I would expect Lennon to have £10 million to spend in January to then back him to say we gave it the best shot we possibly could to get 10 in a row. I don't want to see them going out and going, oh, we get a wee signing, one signing in at the last minute and that's it, because we're still, this is the usual crap they hit you with, or we Forrest is to come back for injury and when he's back we'll have a squad of this, but half of that squad only good enough to play, so we've never really brought anybody in that's come straight into the team and improved us in the last few years. Very few and far between. We're both squad players, but you know that just costs money and it just piles up the squad. It doesn't really do anything to us. I'd like to see us go out there and sign a quick winger or a right good right back and make a statement on it and know somebody in loan. I'd like to see a signing that's made that would boost us and boost the team and boost the management's chances of getting to him.
Obviously, you're talking about loan players there. Obviously, the last few days again, Roberts rumours came up because he's not going to Middlesbrough. I think he's the sort of guy, he's just going rumoured all the time now. He's the same as Snodgrass, rumoured all the time, MacArthur. All these type of guys who were rumoured in the past are always coming up every transfer window. I do agree with any loans. I think if it was a loan, he's probably the only loan player, maybe Foster, the only two I would probably take back. I know a lot of fans will maybe say he's had his chance to come back or he's had his chance here, but for me, I think he would still add a lot to his. Again, it's rumours, isn't it? It only takes one guy to put up a WhatsApp rumour or whatever and it pops up again. So, but again, I think you're right. We've got to obviously depend on how we are by January, position-wise, the league, I think it will depend on how we spend. I think we've got to spend, as you say. Obviously, the big guy McKenzie was on Sky yesterday saying he's basically saying to Celtic, come and get me. Southampton manager saying Foster can go back. So if that's the three guys and I'm maybe right back you get, then it does give you full power to go out and try and claw him back.
See, on that basis, Ryan, see if, for instance, Ryan Christie's no happy, he wants to leave and just say somebody comes in with £12 million for him. I'd happily take £12 million and give that to him when to buy two good players at £4 million each. And then their wages. If that's what he needs to take and you've got an unhappy player there, it looks like El Hamid's going away in January, so just say you get £750,000 from him and you've got £13 million. See, whatever if we might not sell anybody in January, but if we do, and the guy wants to go, the board should come out and go, we're tied, the guy wants to leave, but we've got £14 million here, but we're getting to Neil Lennon because they believe in Neil Lennon as a manager, so they've got to back him then. They can't let him, we back him as a manager then go and hang him up to die in January transfer window. That's the problem.
Aye, because he says that he's got all the credentials as a manager, he manages Celtic, blah, blah, blah. Aye, maybe in the past he did, but football's changed and I think let's be honest, see if he turns it around and we win the league or we win 10 whatever, we'll all have egg in our face and we'll all put our hands on and we'll brilliant, thanks a lot, Neil. But at this moment in time, you've got to go with your gut feeling and I'm the opinion, see if we don't win on Saturday, he's got to walk. He's got to get sacked. I assume that's just my opinion because it's a cup final, but let's be fair, Hearts are a fucking championship team. So if we get beat, then it adds more pressure on him, and I just think it's not a given because no cup finals are given, no games are given.
You've got to think
lower opposition, you turn up to at least probably 80%, you win the game. But I agree with you in that sense that they've got to back him. If it is Christie and Cham or whoever it is, if they go for 10, 12 million, give him the 12 million to go and pay. Even if it is one fucking superstar signing, go and do it. Because he says that they're not sleeping with the wheel. Then if you're not sleeping and you get a money like this, then go and fucking show it. As you says, Lobel says that they've spent money. They've spent 35 million, but they've brought in about £30 million. So they've not actually spent money. They've not actually spent money. Money.
How much of that 35 million was spent wisely, right? I mean, it's like the recruitment is shambolic, as I've spoke about numerous times. So to me, that's all got to get structured in the summer or January or whenever it comes. That one needs to be structured. See if they need to go and spend 3 million on a scouting system, then spend it. Mm-hmm. Aye, David needs done. Let's get the academy back on track, because that's a shambles at the moment as well. So I think whatever happens this season, either or, it's got to be a big strip back for tap to bottom, and the club needs to start coming into the 21st century of Peter Lowell doesn't get involved in transfers if he's going to still be the PLC guy, and we just need to really structure it all again. But if they believe in Neil Lennon as a board, then they've got to back him in January. They've got to give him money to spend. I wouldn't mind fostering in as a loan signing and maybe £4 million on a player and another £4 million a player, but the players have got to come in and improve us as a team. There's no point in bringing somebody in at £4 million like an Ayeti at £5 million and they've not done anything for us and they're sitting on a bench and they're unfit. To me, that's just a waste of time and money.
I don't think you can buy in guys, especially now, that are no fit and no playing, because obviously maybe with Fawcett it's different because he's a goalie, can maybe play a few games and get into it, but you can't go and sign a right back who's not played in maybe 6 months, because it's going to take him 3 or 4 games to get in it. And as you say, we've not got time for squad players. We've got to just bring guys in. And when it comes to the signing policy, I don't even know why Lowell's getting involved in it for the first goal. That should be the manager and the recruitment system. I just think the way we work, as you spoke about John Park, he dealt with recruitment and he brought players in, and obviously we don't know if Lowell was a part of anything like that. But now it seems like Lowell's got a say in it. Just by the onset and the outlook for the fans, it looks like Lowell takes a bit of dealing, because let's be honest, some of the signs we've made, even recently, like Neil Lennon, how's he heard the fucking back ass? Do you know what I mean? He's probably no. So he's got to you've got to trust your recruitment, and I don't know why Lowell's a businessman. He's not fucking, he shouldn't be involved in
that. The guy doesn't get you deals on shirt sponsors and things like that, and gets you into, like, keeps your coefficient up for the Champions League and Europa League, and still says that we're still a Champions League club and goes to all these meetings. He's good at all that, but when it comes to player recruiting, that should take a step aside.
Because that's obviously, see that in the AGM, didn't he? How we're still a Champions Club, we're not a Champions League club anymore. I think some fans need to, if we qualify for the group stages, it's brilliant, it's a bonus, it's 3 brilliant away trips, that's what you're really looking at. But when it comes to actually, I would say we are a European club now, with maybe Champions League standards, maybe. But I would say for us to, if I haven't even think of it at that level, we need to compete at the centre kind of level, which is the Europa League. I know
you would need to be getting to the quarters and semi final, really realistically, the Europa League, if you're a Champions League team. But we are nowhere near that. You know what I mean? So,
because see, he says that, right? So, the why are you not doing your business early on to try and get to that level? Why, as you say,
slept every season,
dilly-dally every year, and then when it's too late, and then we'll back your manager. You've got to do it early doors.
It's like a roll of dice in it. It's like, well, but if we can get through this round, then we can maybe sign this guy and sign that guy. How can we try and sign him to then get yourself in there? You know what I mean? They're not taking the gamble. They're trying to gamble with it and get in there and then spend it. They've done it every year, you know that, for the last 3 or 4 years.
Every year, mate. And then obviously this weekend's game, it's a big game. Quadruple treble could be happening. I think it's a world record. Scottish Cup. I was going to ask your favourite Scottish Cup goal, but I'm guessing it's probably the only goal that we've seen recently, and that's the Rogic goal.
It's the first one that always springs to mind now recently, and
yeah, I was watching it back today. Just, it brings goosebumps here. It's just amazing. Obviously, I think just reliving that is just a fantastic experience, and hopefully we can do it again.
I know. The Rogic goal, it was like, if you write a book, you can write a book as good as how that game went. And just the ending and the amazing run and putting it in the front post of the keeper eye, that's obviously up there with your memories, because it is treble as well, you know what I mean? I don't think there'll be many who'll beat that, you know what I mean? That's definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, my best Scottish Cup goal.
Because even the goal with Edouard to win the last one, but I think the Rogic one was because of running it so long, and it was the first, and it was just, I think it was because of the last minute. I think if it was in the first minute, it wouldn't have been any sweeter.
Yeah.
But I think that just, I mean, that season, you're like, fuck me, man. Amazing. Yeah, as you say, as you couldn't write. It was something you couldn't write.
No, you couldn't have. If you wrote a book, it was like a fairy tale ending of a book, wasn't it? So, without a shadow of a doubt, I don't think, if I live another 30 years, I don't think there'll be many goals will beat it, just for the full drama of the full occasion and how great a goal it was as well.
As you say, it was just, it was an ending for that season. And then obviously this weekend, it could be I know it's the Scottish Cup for last season, but in a way, you can kind of just treat it as it's our first cup of this season, and it could be a catalyst for the team. Because I know it might not be 3 points, but by winning cups, it might spur the team on going, fuck, this is what it feels like again. Do you know what I mean? So, and it might give them a bit of turbo.
It'd be key for new guys and stuff as well. If you win that trophy, Wee Sorrell's never really won a trophy, as he's been there, but he's never really been part of it. Turnbull, the same. Big Edwards probably not been as good as he has, but maybe that'll spark him on to can bring a team together after we win it, obviously, and kick on and go, wow. That feeling, I forgot how good that feeling was. Yeah. And it gave you a wee spring, as you seen last night with Rangers. It's no mean feat to say it's a given to go and win cups. It takes a lot of gut, determination, energy, luck. Takes everything. But I think we're doing small steps in the right direction. I just hope what Neil Lennon was saying in his comments, that he's not going to go back to people who got him there. It's not about people that go up there. It's about people that's going to win him it. So he can't go back to his loyalties and start all that, because if he does that and it goes tits up, then he's just got himself to blame for it, really. I just think you've got to kind of go with the same team. Energy, quickness, young, vibrant. I think he's got to kind of, if he maybe makes one or two changes, aye, that's fair enough. But can he go start tearing the team up and letting 4 or 5 changes? And that's my opinion on it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. For the team, as I've kind of wrote down, will they go back to the old guard? Be your Browns, your Christies and Jams, Bain or Barkas, will they go back to his tried and trusted? Again, my opinion is like you, I would just keep the same team. I know Brown's your captain, blah, blah, but there's no time for sentimental issues and pals act. It's about winning the cup. And The best team's won the last 2 games. Yeah, maybe the only position you can maybe change might be the goalkeeper, because you don't know who's your best. But I think, I personally think Lennon will bring the guys back in. Or he might bring in 1 or 2 guys, but I think guys like Turnbull should be playing. But I think he will bring in Brown. I was listening to radio the night, and even they were saying that I think Turnbull might play, but I think Sorrell might drop it. But I don't see why Brown deserves to play. I know he's the captain of the club, but no guy who's played before the last 2 games deserves to play, in my opinion.
No, 100%. They're the guys that got you in the trouble in the first place. They're the guys that got you knocked out of the Europa League. They're the guys that get you 13 points behind the league. They're the guys that get you knocked out of the League Cup. So, to me, it's just stupid if it goes back to, oh, Brown deserves this because he's been here. So, no, today, bring Brown on with 5 minutes to go if you're winning and let him lift the cup. That's what he wants today. If you're winning, then I bring him on with 5 minutes to go so he gets up and lifts the cup. To me, that's more respecting somebody than giving him a game and it goes tits up and then the fans start getting all annoyed again and then it starts. Brown ends up a lot of bad press and a lot of people giving him abuse then. To me, Sorrow looks like somebody that's covering the ground well. He's making great blocks, making tackles. He's only going to get better the more games he plays. So, what's to say if you drop Sorrow that you're not going to lose confidence? He's gone. Played well the last two games. What do I need to do to really get into this team? So, to me, it's I can't see him. He's got, he can't really change many. Unless there's somebody injured or tight, then I would say, well, I agree with him on that. If maybe Sorrow's feeling tight and he says, I'll have to bring Brown in because Sorrow's not feeling 100%, then I'd have nearer option in that. But to me, now there can't be changes made to the team just because we're building momentum. We've got a first clean sheet against Kamara for the first time in God knows how long. So you've got to keep on that. You've got to keep on that positive note.
He's obviously, with the younger guys, your fresher ideas have come in and they've been a bit more, it's a bit, the football's been quicker. And also I've kind of been watching Hearts also leading up to the podcast and stuff, and they tend to play very high up the park when they're attacking. So, and obviously they're still Christophe Berra there, so he's ageing. So you like to think you would be targeting that with the boys at the top, if it is Edouard up front, if that's who he goes with. Or the wingers, if you get Elanusi, who's quite quick, if you play Frimpong out there, you get hit, you've got Frimpong, so you can probably exploit that, in my opinion, because at this point as well, Celtic should be fitter. So if you're still nothing each with 20 minutes to go, just attack. For me, I would attack better because he is, obviously, from what I've been looking at, he is still playing, so he's played the last few games, so he could be
against him.
Aye.
Want the heat because he'll go and win. He does all day long. That's probably what he's there for, experience that side. But as you say, size of Hamden, get Edouard stretching him at the back. It's a no-brainer, but it all depends what Edouard turns up, I suppose, doesn't it?
Because I think, because most stuff goes through, like Naismith and Boyce, if you what I've been watching. Boyce always plays in the shooter, so again, as much as we probably will dominate possession, you've still got to be alert to that they two will kind of maybe try and link up. And I think that's something we might need to be aware of.
No, definitely. You know what you get with Hearts? They're tough, big, strong, physical team. But it's just whether we're going to cope with that. Maybe that's what he's thinking is behind bringing a lot of experience back in, that the younger boys might not cope well with the rough and tumble of the game. You might get dragged into a fight on the park, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
We'll just need to see, as you say. But I don't even think Neil Lennon knows what he's doing sometimes, never mind us. So. I'm quite looking forward to it, to be honest with you, just because the last few performances have been good and I've actually enjoyed watching us again for a bit.
Aye, because as you say, his Hearts, it's always a battle with him. Even when they were down in the relegation zone the last season and they were still fighting, still very hard games, and you know what you're going to get with Naismith from out of the park. He's going to be at you, he's going to be trying to ruffle the feathers up and just basically be that wee annoyance that he is. But don't deny, Naismith is a good player, as much as we don't like him because he's played for the other mob, he is still a decent player, especially for him this season. So I think maybe that they two are probably again, but the guy Kingsley's very good on the ball, crosses the ball very well. He's
left back.
He's quite quick. So I think you maybe need, their threat would be maybe for that side, and then the flick ons for Naismith into Boyce. I think if you stop that passage I played, then I think you nearly nullify any threat Hearts have got. But I think we will have nice possession. As you say, you've just got to win the battle probably more than anything else against Hearts.
Yep.
Because they are very.
It could be a real boost for us to, if you win that cup, to kick on for the rest of the season and try and just build up a run of games of wins. I just feel why. I just hope all the good work that's been done the last two games hasn't pissed against that. You know what I mean?
As we were saying there, about who do you bring in? If you bring in the old guard, as I call it, then you're bringing guys in who maybe let you down. So does that not mean you're taking a bad step again? Because obviously the last two games you've not trusted them and they've not played. So because obviously the boy Hazard's maybe got a new deal. So do you play him? I know he's had a clean sheet, and again, guys might say he's not been tested. So do you shove him into a cup game? Me personally, I would just go with what you've been playing with. I don't see why you would change it. In the day, it's just an all game. You've got to look at it, it's an all game. It's a cup final, but again, you've got to kind of get the pals out of the window and just play who's been playing well.
No, that's, as you say, I would go with the boy Hazard. He's not done anything wrong. It's the first clean sheet we've had in a while. You've got to kind of have a settled back four and a goalkeeper. You can change around about the middle of the park, you can change up front, but your back four and your goalkeeper is a place I don't feel you should ever change, because they've got to build up a partnership and an understanding of each other. If they're playing the offside, playing high lines, they're all kind of getting... And you can see Big Duffy, he's not been outstanding, but he's starting to grow a wee bit. He's starting to do the basics right. And then he scored a header, so his confidence that's high. So, aye, and big Conor Hazard seems to be talking to them at the back as well. So I would go with the boy until he makes a mistake, because the other two have made numerous mistakes. So, what's the point in bringing them back in? It's not like they can be trusted.
Definitely, because Barkas, I think he still needs time to settle in. I don't think you can trust him. Bain, he's not been in the squad in the last few games. So, I think there's no reason to drop the boy. I don't see why. I think you deserve to play. I think that Tumbo, Sorrow, I would play the team that we played during the week, barring injuries. I don't see why any reason not to. Because I think, as you say, I think if the guys didn't play, I think they'd be sick. Because they've done well. They've come in. I think they'd be annoyed. Me personally, I'd be annoyed if it was me.
Football's a confidence thing as well, Ryan. You know what I mean? If you're flying high and you're playing well, your confidence is up. To drop them, what would it do to their confidence?
A big drop, wouldn't it?
I mean, you beat a class side in Lille, who's joint tap of the French league. Name and feet, and Kamala are a stuffy team. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it wasn't the boys that were playing, we might have ran out of energy and come out. Like, first half, they look quite solid, but the young boys' energy in that took care in the second half, and they started moving the ball quicker. Kamalak, can they cope with it? As much as Kamalak probably did in the day, great. If that's Brown and people like that on the park, slow and laboured, it's easy to get in and set a defensive unit up, whereas Tumble's won the turn quick. Sorrow's quicker moving the ball. It's then dragging them all out of the place. It's probably got us our joy in the game.
I thought the game was his. I thought everything through him. And I think I like the fact that he's come into Celtic, he's no one of these wee guys that is quiet, and he's come in, he's hitting shots, he's taking free kicks, he's wanting to take penalties, he's wanting to take corners, he's not giving a fuck about Christie wanting to take this or other guys wanting to come in and take. He's saying no, I'm taking it. Which I like.
It's the difference, Ryan, with getting balls into the box with Tumble. His deliveries are brilliant, and it gives the players something to attack. He's 3 assists and a goal in his 2 games. So,
you're obviously talking about his delivery, right? I think, me personally, I think it will be Ayer, Julian, Duffy and Maxwell. So, you've got Ayer as well, so you've got 3 big lumps that you can put the ball into. And I think I spoke to my dad about it. You've got to utilise that. You've got to utilise there as much as they're there to defend. I would be trying to get a corner all the time, because it's like a free kick.
A corner or three kicks when about the edge of the box.
It's definitely something we can utilise.
I watched it last night. I watched about the Rangers and St Mirren game, and St Mirren were putting balls into their box and free kicks and corners, and all right, they didn't like it. They didn't like defending it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be getting corners and free kicks and putting into their box and letting them do it to us, like say Hearts at the weekend. See, if you have to get the ball wide and, as you say, get down the wings and hit it off somebody. Julian, I wouldn't say Ayer's great in there. Julian and Duffy are brilliant in there.
Mm-hmm.
Say you get 10 corners, at least one of them, they're going to connect to one and cause a lot of trouble. Maybe two or three. So, as you say, get down the wings, get the balls into the box, get crosses, get corners. We've got guys there at over 6'2" and 6'4", and you've got to, as you say, we're a big team, so play to your strengths on that side.
Aye, definitely. I think, obviously about Craig Gordon, he's in goals, you know, he'll be playing, well, obviously, barring injury, whatever else, but, so we all know what to expect. We know he's going to be very hard to beat. He's a very good goalkeeper. In my opinion, he should still be one of your keepers, but, again, that ship sailed. He's with Hearts, so we need to just deal with it, and, again, I think it'll be a good battle for, in the box, with Duffy, Julian and him, because,
I don't think he'll come for, he's not great at coming for corners, no. Was. So
I think that's going to be aye, definitely, but because even the last two games, I think Julian and Duffy have looked a bit more comfortable defensively, and every time they come to park, they're fucking.
Well, Julian scored in the European game, and now Duffy scored in the Kamalik game. So maybe they just need to build a partnership up as well at the back. Give them a run of games like that, because it's the most, when you say solid, but it's the most tightest I've seen the defence look all season, and maybe it just takes a run of games, because I don't think Kamalik really caused much threat. One kind of cross into the box and the boy flicked it on the Connor Hazard's arms, but that was just a lack of concentration. But apart from that, thought we were quite good in defence.
Because normally that guy Gbamba causes some issues with some defenders. The last time Julian got a lot of ball movement, and I think he nullified it right away. I think I should gave him a dunt. I think he nullified it right away, which was good. I think definitely a bit more sharp at the back. And I would just play Ayer the rest of the season. For my opinion, I think he looks all right there. He's up and down. Until he puts a bad game in, then I'd just continue to play him there.
You get man in the match at the weekend. So, during the week, sorry. Lacking days here. He get man of the match, and I thought he was really good. He was good at attacking sense as well. He's been good in the attacking sense. He's done well in there. Maybe that's given him a freedom, because he's good with bringing the ball out for your defence, big guy. So maybe it is an area that he could play to for the time being, anyway.
Because I think sometimes that's priceless. See what he does. He takes it out and he gets you out of the park. Sometimes I think it's brilliant what he does. I know he gives you the ball away sometimes with doing it, but it takes a lot of pressure off you from doing that, and if you can do that out the right-hand side, it gets you right up the park.
Yep. Which a big gazelle charging up the line, isn't it?
A big blonde gazelle. But definitely, I think it's something we've got to utilise, and he's quick as well, so if you have got Frimpong, they two should be comfortable with that side. The two of them are decent players. Obviously, Frimpong for me is, I'm saying he's a decent player, but
between them, eh?
He's been a bit in between recently. Ayer's he's probably one of our main assets all season, to be fair, Ayer. He's not let us down the right back so far, so I would just continue to play him there. Especially Sunday. As you say, he's height as well. I just think we've got to use everything we can to just try and win this game, because I don't think it's any, as you say, it's no any mean feat winning a treble. Never mind four trebles. So, as much as we've won all these trophies, I think it will be. I think some of the players might be nervous, because it is a big pressure game, in my opinion.
Of course, it is. As you say, right, it's a Scottish Cup final. I just feel it would be no small steps. I feel it would be a massive step in the confidence of the team if we win it. And I just feel it would give us the confidence to kick on. Just to get towards the league after that, start getting the results up to January 2nd, it'd be a pure confidence booster to win it. And I just feel it would give the players the hunger that they probably need, because I feel you know what I feel? It's like you can see the Celtic team. It's like as if they're no understanding it without the fans. We've probably been affected more than most teams in Europe. I've seen a bit of like Real Madrid not being affected and Barca being affected by it, obviously. But they're obviously in the same boat. But they've not got as passionate fans as us. And I feel probably sometimes the players feel it's no real, if you know what I mean. It's like a training session more than an actual game. But then to win a trophy would give them that realistic feeling to then go, aye, let's push on for here. Just in my opinion, that is.
Because obviously with Rangers getting beat last night, it just shows you what a special thing we've done in the last few years. It's hard to even get to a final, and I mean winning three, maybe four. So, and it just shows you that to go unbeaten again, it's just remarkable. And I don't think we get enough credit for it. I've said it for the last few months again. I know we haven't through a bad spell, but we don't get any. I don't think we've had any credit whatsoever for what we've done. It's always it's always Rangers have no been there or every other team's been shite.
The papers have been sent. 28 games, Rangers, fantastic, brilliant. Gerrard's a messiah, he's this, he's that, he's fantastic. Aye, but he's just been knocked out a cup half a St. Mon. But they don't give us the credit, as you say. We went 35 games unbeaten in cup competition. That's a full season. That's a full season of cup competition against every team that get flung at you. And you can have an half day, as we all know. Everybody can have an half day. So it was remarkable to go that far and that long. Winning all the trophies. So, it's naming feet. I think we're obviously a bit spoiled with trophies early years. But obviously, we just need to keep that hunger and desire to win them. I mean, I think winning the Scottish Cup for last year, as long as it's last year, no really caring. But I think it'll give the players the hunger again to kick on for in the league. And that's what I'm hoping to achieve at all. A good performance, a win. And then build on that for getting into December into January.
I think it definitely will give a massive boost by winning it. Again, obviously, you need to get past Hearts first, but I've got a good feeling about it now. There's a lot more, it's a bit more positive. And then obviously with Rangers getting put out, it just shows you that the league's far from over. I know it's only a cup game, but it just shows you that, again, they're talking about how Rangers don't handle pressure very well. Let's see how they go at the weekend. If they don't perform well, then I think us winning a big trophy, it will push you on. Because I think it'll, as you say, it'll spur the players on again. A bit of fire in the belly. Because I think definitely the new fans for me is a massive thing. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think anybody says it's a massive, massive thing. Because you know and I know that if there were 60,000 fans in that ground, Neil Lennon wouldn't be here. He'd be away. The fans wouldn't have it.
Maybe as supporters, we maybe need to, in my opinion, maybe we need to go down and give them a wee boost. Like before the Kamarnock game, the fans that were out protesting, they went out and they sang and gave the fans a wee. I know we're like hiding in the middle of a pandemic, mate, but I don't know if there could be a way of maybe fans going out to Hampden before the game and socially distancing and giving the players a wee boost and a wee cheer and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe that's, it might work, it might not. It's just opinions of how to try and help them through what's happening in this time of need.
I think it's definitely something. This is it. We don't know a lot of fans will go down and date, but you will get some fans that will go down and probably date anyway. I think it's definitely something that we could do because I think any advantage in Geary team, any bit of hope, then especially now, it's as much as it's for last season, it's still a massive game. And
it's worth £1 million, right? For winning the Scottish Cup, it's worth over £1 million. So that helps as well in the middle of a pandemic because we never made much out of the Europa League. Obviously, we get that win that boosted, I don't know, about 150, 200 grand, I think it ended up. But and no having fans, so that £1 million could go towards a £3-4 million player in January. So I don't know if we still get that because there was talk that the reason they kept that back was to get fans back in. So I don't know how that would work, but it used to be worth £1 million to win the Scottish Cup. So I don't know if you still get £1 million because there's no been fans in the stadium and stuff. But whatever it is, it's still money to help us towards January and maybe help us towards what's happening in the pandemic. So that's another thing.
It's like, you're obviously talking about the fans that I get in. I don't see any reason why there couldn't be like 2,000 fans for each team.
In a 60,000-seater
stadium. Aye, 50, 60. I don't know why. If they're doing down south, then obviously it's a neutral venue, so you can't really put in... You've got to judge who you put in. You can't put in fucking one set and no other set, so I agree with no putting fans in, but I don't see why you can't...
See, as you're saying on that, I watched a bit of the Arsenal game and they had 2,000 fans in and they had the 2,000 fans in the same stand. And I thought, what the fuck's the point in that? I don't get that.
Aye.
Why should it not be, all right, 2,000 fans, but they were literally 10 seats away from each other? You got, why not have 4,000 fans and spread them at a 63,000 seat stadium? And that way, nobody's in contact or shouting at you. Like, if you shout, obviously you're saliva comes out your mouth. There's nobody within, say, 5 rows in front of you or 5 rows away from you. That was the full thing. They want you to wear face masks and stuff. Obviously, they don't want to open up every turnstile, but they can take some of the fans through so many turnstiles and then spread them out so they're nowhere near each other. As you said, it's outside. Whereas they had the Arsene Wenger thing in London, they had 2,000 fans inside a venue in London, an Arsene Wenger speech thing. So where does that make sense?
It's like they'll start, says we can talk about it, I think, but that's fine now, but they are just kind of making their own rules up now, I think. They're just making silly decisions now because there's no reason why even 500 fans for each, if it is a bar, I generally don't know how they would decide it, but how 500 fans can they sit in that bit of Hampden and that bit can they sit in that? I don't see why they can't do it. I know it might only be 1,000 or even 100 fans. It just gives something for the players. Let's be honest, as a cup final, right? But some of the players are turned up and be like that. It doesn't feel like a final.
No.
Because there's no fans. I know Peter Lawwell says that they spoke to the Scottish Government and stuff like that to try and get fans in, but they've definitely got to do something because it's a shame that fans can't get us either. Because they're paying money and they're not getting the product, and I understand it's a pandemic and it's very, very rare that stuff like this happens. So I just think getting fans in is a massive thing they've got to try and do. Even if it is 100 fans per team, then so be it.
See, just on that, Ryan, Boyce was helped me last week with work, and he was just back for London for 7 weeks and he was working in Harrods in London, and he says to me, social distancing, he says, not a fucking bit of it. He says London is just nothing. Because it's all about making money. He says it's just Bond Street and all that, and London was just thousands of people just walking by trying to do Christmas shopping. He says there's not one bit of social distance, and they're all going on undergrounds right next to each other. So how can you tell me that you can't get 2,000 fans in a 60,000 seater stadium spread out?
I know.
But they can spread, say, 800 people onto a train underground in the middle of London.
It's the same. You've seen all these photos at Primark and all that, and they're shutting pubs, which are all spaced out. They're shutting gyms, they're all spaced out. But you can stand in a queue and piss and rain in Primark. It's just, but then you can't even watch a game of football. Even amateur teams, junior teams. It's a Scottish Highway that system now. So, but how can they, even local pensioners, not go and watch a game of football? I don't know. Obviously, I'm going to government, so I don't make any choices. But it can't be hard to decide. Right, we'll put in 500 fans at that game. We'll try it. It's like they're picking and choosing what teams are able to get fans in, which I don't agree with.
And choose rugby. They gave rugby more money to build rugby more than they did football.
And that's for people who have got money. Rugby. To be fair, exactly. Isn't it? There's guys that watch football like Free Center Glasgow who save up all year and all their life to go and watch football, and football in Glasgow is getting their money.
And it's mental health on people as well, because a lot of people, that's their social life, is to get to football. I'm not saying that, for people's well-being, you need to get them back to football because there's a pandemic going on, but as you say, even to give somebody a boost and say, let 500 fans in, and then say that's over so many weeks, they'll just change the 500 fans every couple of weeks to try and get somebody in. Obviously, I would rather some wee old guy that goes to the football. I'm not caring about me getting back in. I can accept that. But maybe some wee old guy that's in the house that's lonely and his time out is to go to the football, then if that's what needs to be done, to let them in first, that's not obviously going to shout and ball at the football as well, then let it be that. But I just feel like football is just taking an absolute doing on this, when the Scottish Government and obviously every government should look into it, because they let people go into a plane, 400 people go into planes to go abroad.
I know.
And that's trapped condensed air. That's air going round, circulating round a plane. It's not like there's air coming into that plane. So people are breathing in that circulated air on a plane. So 400 people can fly to Tenerife and hold it, but as you say, it's 2,000 people carried sitting in a 60,000-seater stadium outside.
It's madness, isn't it? How people can go shopping, but yet you can't even go for a pint. Actually, I don't get it, alright. They're saying that you can't stand at a bar. How? You can, as you said, you can sit in a plane, you can sit in a shop while your missus or your pal goes in shops. I think football has taken a big kind of a big hammer blow to this, especially in Scotland, especially if our clubs are asking for more money. And see, like, obviously the Celtic Rangers and maybe Hearts and that, Hibs, they might be able to cope without the fans for even a while longer, but see teams like Stenhouse, Muir, East Stirling, they need fans. See, if it is putting 50 fans, that's 50 fans that are going to go in and buy a pie, they're going to buy a programme, they're going to buy a bottle, so they're going to get, that might cover the wages for that week. Some of the players, so I think we've definitely got to, especially for the kind of lower tiers. But I think, see, for the cup final, I don't see why they can't put 500 fans in. Even if it's 500 neutral fans who are don't like Hearts.
It stays within half a mile of Hampden.
It's just to try and gear the game a bit of magnitude that for me and you and Hearts fans, it's a big game for him, but for me and you and Celtic fans, it's a historical game. So to not have fans, even if it's just to get a bit more atmosphere, isn't it? It's just to get a bit more.
It was working in the Premier League, you've seen it when the fans were back. It was, I know that they sing much, but it was a wee bit of, you could see the players were responding to it, and it was a wee bit of atmosphere and it's enjoyable, but now it's looking like that sort of stopped in there as well. It baffles me on that one, mate. It does.
Hopefully, new year we can get some fans in. But obviously, the last wee bit about the final, mate. What's your opinions? Do you think you'll just stick with the team and your school prediction, and then hopefully.
In my opinion, mate, I'd stick with 10 out the oven, or I wouldn't, but 10 out of the 11, if you're making one, a change, it should only really be one, and it would probably be if somebody's pulled a hamstring or feeling tight or something, then I take a change. But to me, I'm confident. I feel we should win 2-0 or 3-1. But I'd see if we win 1-0 in the 90th minute, I wouldn't even care at this moment in time, just to get us the result. But 2-0 or 3-1, I'm confident that we'll go out and do what needs done. A big open park where we can play football, and we can get at Hearts, as you say. I just feel we as being a Premier League team as well, and Hearts in the Championship, we should be fitter, stronger, better than them. But it's a cup final, so it can happen on the day, but we've got to be prepared for that.
Can I agree with you there, mate? I think that I'm quietly confident. I've said kind of 3-0, I think personally. I think we've just go out for the start and just kind of go and get an early goal and kind of try and put the game to bed, because I think the longer it goes, because of the way we've been, I think it will get, it gets to the 70th minute and we're stalling off on each. Players might start getting a bit nervous and pressurised because of how we've been playing. So I think I would just try and, as you say, just hit hearts for the get-go. And I'm quite confident. I think we'll stay. Me personally, I would go with the same team. But I just think Lennon's going to, with his comments, as you said earlier, I think he will make a few changes, bring some of the old guard back in. But I'll be kind of go with the same team and hopefully just try and get this kind of cup won. And it's a massive, massive game, in my opinion. And again, I think it's a massive game for Neil Lennon, because I think if he gets beat, it's another chip in his armour that he's kind of been losing this season.
Aye. He probably needs it for his sale as well, I think. He's been low in confidence. You can see it on the guy. Maybe this will give him a wee... If he wins this, this will give him the wee boost and probably the backroom staff to go over that. That they say, oh, things are starting to come together with us. Things are starting to do as we say, but it's took time. But now, as a unit, we're all starting to see what we're needed and how things are going right. I think it just boosts everybody if you win it. It boosts the fans, it boosts the players, it boosts the management. It would just give everybody something to cheer about in the middle of a pandemic and how shitty a year it's really been. And obviously we've not been playing very well, but it could be a boost that kicks our season on. Some things like that can just make a team click, and I'm just hoping that's how it ends up at the weekend.
Hopefully it's a massive game, mate. I kind of go with the same thing as yourself there, that for Neil Lennon, it's probably a big game as well for his confidence, because I think he needs it enough to not to prove it, but just to say, in a way, get up. I'm still the man for the job. So
it might give him the fire in the belly, Ryan, he needs again, because he looks a bit down and not his usual fiery self. So maybe that's the thing. Winning a cup final again would give him that wee fight in him. And he's always been a fighter, but he just looks a wee bit downhearted now. And to me, he just looks a wee bit, obviously, gutted with everything that's happened.
It's just, I think a lot of us have been the same, haven't they? I think we've all been kind of... I want to say surprised, or just more disappointed how we've been. So hopefully, get the cup on Sunday, and again, give us a wee boost, mate. But thanks for your time. And hopefully we'll watch the game, we'll be celebrating after it, mate. So thanks for your time, Robert, and I'll see you again, mate. Thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers. Ryan. Speak to you.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.